With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome or welcome back to the future of This is the Space for those curious about the future. For 99 episodes, I've been telling you about the technologies, strokes of genius, and discontinuities that could become big and shape the way we'll live tomorrow. In this episode, 1. Fighting deepfakes. Baffling new cases of deepfake abuse, but thankfully also new solutions to combat them. 2. No more robocalls. From the USA, important sanctions against wild telemarketing. In Europe, besides GDPR, the example to watch is Germany. 3. Displays on fabrics. Fashion advances and produces new technological fabrics able to act as monitors directly on the clothes we wear. 4. Artificial blood. An Indian tycoon is funding a startup that intends to produce a biosynthetic blood surrogate. I'll explain why. 5. Nanotechnological origami. It seems like child's play, and instead it is the birth of complex nanomachines that could have crucial developments in the medical field and beyond. Are you ready? Then hold on tight, buckle up, ready to go.
Silence, please.
Fight against deep fakes. I have often used the frequencies of the future of to warn listeners of the danger of deep fakes. The concept is simple: as soon as deep fakes leave the realm of Goliardia, we will find ourselves in a difficult situation, that of no longer being able to trust the words spoken by characters, public and private, who tell us something. This week we get a deep fake story from Pennsylvania that has the unbelievable. The articles I've read don't reveal exactly what technology the protagonist of this story used, so let's take it with a grain of salt that these are sophisticated deep fakes, but what happened is hallucinating. The mother of a young girl in a cheerleading squad altered photographs of her daughter's teammates to bring them into disrepute. On March 4th, police arrested a 50-year-old Bucks County woman for sending her teenage daughter's coaches fake photos and videos depicting her rivals naked, drinking or smoking, to try to get them kicked off the team. Thank goodness, the lady was also stupid enough to send threatening messages to the girls, and so it was relatively easy to link the author of the threats to the author of the videos. The videos were analyzed and investigators were able to determine that they were deepfakes, digitally altered but realistic-looking images, created by mapping the girls' photos on social media and placing them on other images, in unwelcome contexts. The poor girls' parents believed their daughters and filed a complaint. The case was resolved positively, but this episode must sound like a wake-up call, because it indicates how easy it is becoming, even for ordinary people, to go from a mere exercise in technological style to crimes against the person. If this episode is discouraging, this week comes the news that some scientists have developed an intelligent way to detect deep fakes by analyzing light reflections in the eyes. The system was created by computer scientists at the University of Buffalo. In tests on portrait-style photos, the tool was 94% effective in detecting fakes. The system discovers fakes by analyzing corneas, which have a mirror-like surface that generates reflections when illuminated by light. In a photo of a real face taken by a camera, the reflection on the two eyes will be similar because they are seeing the same thing. But deepfake images, synthesized by algorithms, such as GANs, typically fail to accurately capture this. Instead, they often show inconsistencies, such as different geometric shapes or mismatched positions of reflections. The AI system looks for these discrepancies by mapping a face and analyzing the light reflected in each eyeball. And it generates a score which serves as a metric of similarity. The lower the score, the more likely the face is a deep fake. The solution is definitely smart, but insufficient for now. The tool's most obvious flaw is that it relies on a reflected light source in both eyes. Also, inconsistencies in these models can be fixed with a bit of manual post-processing, and if one eye is not visible in the image, obviously the method doesn't work. Finally, if the face in the image is not looking at the camera, the system is likely to produce false positives. Without a doubt, however, it's a step in the right direction. As in all battles between guards and thieves, it doesn't end there.
No more robocalls. The U.S. Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, has levied the largest fine in history, amounting to $225 million, on some Texas telemarketers, who made about 1 billion phone calls where they falsely claimed to be selling health insurance from some major U.S. companies. Crazy. Robocalls are, technically, those calls where a pre-recorded message tries to route the user along a menu with the purpose of selling them something. The offending calls had a fake caller ID that made it appear that they were coming from a nearby location. If unsuspecting users dialed 3 to speak with an operator, the consumer was transferred to a call center not affiliated with any of these insurers. The companies sanctioned by the FCC were able to initiate several million calls every day. Imagine what kind of business they must have been able to create. Unsolicited calls, of course, are not only a nuisance, but also pose a serious risk to consumers, who may inadvertently share sensitive and personal information in response to the perpetrator's malicious schemes. In the U.S., the authority has taken serious action. In addition to fines, letters have been sent out instructing some operators to end their practices immediately, or further action will be taken. A new robocall response team has also been formed, a group of no less than 51 members of the FCC staff, which will coordinate anti-robocall efforts. The problem raised in the U.S., however, represents only the tip of the iceberg of a plague that has truly impressive numbers worldwide. According to HIA's first Global Robocall Radar report, which analyzed the phenomenon for the first time in 2018, global spam calls grew 325% over the previous year, reaching the remarkable estimate of 85 billion calls annually. For the record, HIA is a company that makes apps to repel unwanted calls, and while it's blatantly interested in describing the phenomenon as a kind of pandemic, its voice has a certain reputation. If you use a recent Samsung smartphone, after the S7 to be clear, the system that blocks unwanted calls and alerts you to possible spam is made by this very company. In 2018, the most affected countries in the world were in order UK, Spain, Italy, and France. Once again on the podium of a very undesirable ranking, but there you have it. And if you think that, with the current coronavirus pandemic, the problem has died down, unfortunately it's quite the opposite. These operators are changing their patterns of approach to the consumer, focusing precisely on the widespread fear at this time. What I report below is an example that comes from Business Insider magazine, which investigated the issue, and it speaks volumes about the subtlety of these methods. Hi, this is Brett PJ with an important message regarding the effects of the coronavirus outbreak on your student loans. The new measures will affect the interest on your federal student loans until further notice. For more information on how these new measures will impact your future payment obligations, call us back today at this phone number. Incorrect, terrible, and extremely serious. What's happening with US and Europe instead? Obviously, the GDPR has put a brake on the phenomenon. The same telephone operators have equipped themselves to monitor and block the greatest number of cases, and our Senate has approved an expansion of protections, strengthening the opposition register, for example. But there's still no definitive solution that will satisfy everyone. To look for one that, in combination with the GDPR, represents an approach that is, in my humble opinion, comprehensive and replicable, one must look to Germany. In Germany, for example, unsolicited marketing phone calls to private individuals are illegal, unless the caller has their explicit consent. Since it is only allowed to call private people with their explicit consent, there is not even a no-call list in Germany. On the B2B side, the legislation is a little less restrictive, but calls are allowed, as long as the telemarketer has the consent of the called party. A contractual relationship exists between the two, and it can be reasonably assumed that the called party is interested in the subject of the call. Not bad at all. Bravo to the Germans.
Displays on fabrics. In 2030, when I walk through an unfamiliar city and need maps with directions, I won't need my smartphone anymore. And I won't even have to wear earphones in my ears, telling me where to go. I'll just have to look at the sleeve of my jacket. A group of researchers has created a wearable interactive display made of a flexible, breathable electronic fabric that can display simple maps and text messages potentially for use inside smart clothing. One problem with developing such wearable devices is that video displays are typically rigid and bulky. In this case, you don't have to think of an external screen stuck to fabric or sewn in, but rather a completely revolutionary concept. Some Chinese scientists have literally woven a display into the fibers. To make the new fabric, polymer scientists at Fudan University in Shanghai were able to weave electrically conductive transparent fibers and luminescent threads together with cotton thread, resulting in a new flexible and breathable composite. The fabric contains about 500,000 pixels, one for each point where the electrically conductive weft threads meet the luminescent warp fibers, spaced about 800 microns apart. To give you an idea, an average human hair is about 100 microns wide. But it doesn't end there. The fabric is as bright as an average flat-screen TV, making it well visible even outdoors. In addition, the researchers noted that their prototype was also significantly more durable than conventional thin-film flexible displays, making it more suitable for practical use. The performance of most of the displays used in the test remained stable after 1,000 cycles of bending, stretching and pressing, and 100 cycles of washing and drying. Not bad, in short, apparently it's pretty durable. And from there on, the imagination ran wild. The researchers incorporated a touch-sensitive fabric keyboard, equipped with 16 keys, solar energy harvesting wires, and battery fibers into their fabric, to add interactivity and, of course, energy power. They also added electronics to wirelessly connect it to a smartphone via a Bluetooth connection so that users could send and receive messages on their sleeves as well as see their locations in real time on a map. Not satisfied with these results, which are already pretty interesting on their own anyway, they also went further. Another potential use is in healthcare. Included in the prototypes, they included a textile display measuring about 22 by 6 centimeters, which was used to monitor some volunteers who were wearing headphones that read brain waves. When the headsets detected participants' low-frequency brain waves during a meditation exercise, the devices transmitted the data to a computer connected to the textile so that the word "relaxed" was displayed. When the earbuds detected high-frequency brain waves from volunteers playing a game of car racing, the tissue displayed the word anxious. Now, in this case, the display in the fibers is just a terminal, however, the idea of giving voice to people who can't is interesting. Some people are mute, others have some kind of disease for which communicating using simply something you wear may not be negligible. We may not have a smartphone or computer at our disposal, but we will probably always have at least something on. In other cases, it could also collect information from the masses. If today to do a sentiment analysis, we look at the tweets of a certain period or a certain geographical area, tomorrow we could measure the mood of a physical square or of the people at a concert, simply thanks to a t-shirt and a basketball cap. The last problem that needs to be solved in order to move to the production and marketing of these fabrics is, however, the voltage. The voltage used is still too high and could be harmful, so although we enjoyed exploring the future and dreaming for a moment, the games are not yet done.
Artificial blood. This week, I read an interview with Tej Kohli, an Indian tycoon, that caused quite a stir, due to a strong statement in which he claimed that his children will be able to live over 120 years. Advances in the medical field the realization of nanobots capable of moving in the blood, the reprogramming of DNA, and artificial intelligence applied in the medical field are the ingredients of his recipe for life extension. The protagonist of this story, however, is not only a visionary, he is also a millionaire who is investing his wealth in the realization of his dream. Among the companies he has financed, with the beauty of $100 million, there is also Detraxi, a startup that aims to create artificial blood. An extraordinarily complex and fascinating topic, which has its roots in the distant past, but wants to solve current problems. Suffice it to say that for the first time in China, for example, the demand for blood has exceeded the supply coming from the many donors of a country that is immense, but clearly insufficient for the purpose. Managing blood supplies is a difficult process. Refrigerated blood remains viable for only 35 to 42 days. And of course the potential market is huge too, because we're talking business anyway. Detraxi hopes to save millions of lives around the world by developing its proprietary biotechnology solution for a range of global health challenges. The company is working in collaboration with some of the most talented and respected scientists in fields such as fluid replacement, diagnostics, transplantation, and regenerative medicine. Blood products alone are a $4 billion market in China alone, but by other estimates, the artificial blood market could be worth $15.6 billion by 2027 if companies could develop products that do everything from transporting oxygen to delivering drugs to improving healing. But what exactly is it, and what is artificial blood used for? A blood substitute, also called artificial blood or blood substitute, is a substance used to mimic and fulfill certain functions of biological blood. It aims to provide an alternative to blood transfusion, which is the transfer of blood, or blood products, from one person to another. To date, there are no perfect blood substitutes that carry oxygen, which is the typical goal of a red blood cell transfusion. In the past, efforts have focused on molecules that can carry oxygen, and most of the work has focused on recombinant hemoglobin, which normally carries oxygen, and perfluorocarbons, chemical compounds that can carry and release oxygen. And do you know how that turned out? The first oxygen-carrying blood substitute was a perfluorocarbon product, produced by a Japanese company in the 1980s. It was approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration in 1989, and due to limited success, complexity of use, and side effects, it was withdrawn in 1994. So there's a gap to fill, and Detraxi is working on it. And it's a very difficult goal. Human blood is an incredibly complex cocktail of protein, salt, platelets, red and white blood cells, perfectly designed to deliver oxygen and nutrients throughout the body, with precision and efficiency. So any fluid that tries to mimic it should have at least the following three characteristics. First, it must be safe to use and compatible with the human body. This means that different blood types should not matter when using artificial blood. It also means that the fluid must be able to be used to remove all disease-causing agents, such as viruses and microorganisms. As a second prerequisite, it must be able to transport oxygen throughout the body and release it where it is needed. This is the main task of human blood, and at least we know that it is also the characteristic which has proven to be most imitable. Thirdly, it must be storable. One of the most undesirable characteristics of blood is that it can only be stored for a relatively short period of time. For now, we are at pre-trials and therefore still relatively far from having a final product that is fit for purpose, but certainly it is a challenge that makes sense to take on. And to think that, after the discovery of the blood circulatory system by William Harvey back in 1616, transfusions were soon banned from the science of the day. Apart from the fact that blood groups had not yet been discovered, the truth is that serious experimenters, but also charlatans, started to make transfusions with goat's blood, milk, urine, plant resins, and so on. Sending to the other world, of course, thousands of innocents, and extinguishing the attention on the subject for more than 150 years. Among all of them deserves a special mention such Sir Christopher Wren, who proposed the use of wine and opium as substitutes of blood. Fortunately, today we have more modern technologies, even though the saying good wine makes good blood continues to please me deeply.
Nanotechnology origami. Researchers at Cornell University have created shape memory actuators, a few microns in size, that allow atomically thin two-dimensional materials to bend into 3D configurations. All they require is a small jolt of voltage. And once the material is bent, it retains its shape, even after the voltage is removed. As a demonstration, the team has created what is potentially the world's smallest self-folding origami bird. And it's no joke. Physicist Paul McEwen, who took part in the project, said, "The defining characteristic of us humans is that we've learned to build complex systems and machines on a human scale, and even on huge scales, but what we haven't learned to do is build machines on a small scale. And this is a step in that basic evolution, fundamental in what humans can do, of learning to build machines that are as small as cells. Because that's the goal. Researchers want to create the conditions for having robots that are microscopic, but with a brain on board. Imagine millions of microscopic, ad hoc fabricated robots that come off a wafer, bend and change shape, crawl free and go about their tasks, even reassembling into more complicated structures. That's the vision. Whether they would then have to operate in blood, or in environments unreachable by humans with current equipment, is just an exercise in imagination that could take us far, but perhaps it's a little early to let our imaginations run wild. The robots tested have actuators that can bend with a radius of curvature smaller than 1 micron, the best performance to date. This flexibility is important, because one of the fundamental principles of microscopic robot manufacturing is that the size of the robot is determined by how small the various appendages can be to bend. The tighter the bends, the smaller the folds, and the smaller the footprint of each machine. It is also important that these bends can be maintained by the robot, which minimizes energy consumption, a feature that is particularly beneficial for robots and microscopic machines. The devices consist of a nanometer layer of platinum, covered by a titanium or titanium dioxide film. Several rigid glass panels of silicon dioxide reside on these layers. When a positive voltage is applied to the actuators, oxygen atoms are pushed into the platinum and swap places with the platinum atoms. This process, called oxidation, causes the platinum to expand on one side, in the joints between the inert glass panels, which bends the structure into the predetermined shape. And it does this in just 100 milliseconds, being able to create shapes that depend only on the desired geometry and where the tension is applied. In short, a dynamic puzzle, but of atomic dimensions. Yes, because the robots created at Cornell have layers of material composed of just 30 atoms. To give you an idea of the scale, just think that a simple sheet of paper would have a thickness of 100,000 atoms. What are we going to do with them in practice? These innovations could, one day not too far away, lead to medical robots able to clean bacterial infections from human tissues. So much to indicate one of the first possible applications thought by scientists. In the meantime, the important thing is to learn how to build the desired geometries and expand knowledge on the construction of atomic machines, then for industrial applications, there will be time.
Thank you for listening to The Future of, Really. You could have listened to the radio, you could have spun a vinyl, you could have put on a cassette, you could have used a stereo 8, to know what it was, but instead you preferred The Future of. That's what I thank you for, and you still have hundreds of episodes left to discover. Quote of the week. Thomas Alva Edison said the physician of the future will not give medicine, but will engage the patient in the proper use of food, fresh air and exercise. A sacrosanct phrase, but ironic, thinking that just a simple tension so dear to Edison will be the engine of the microscopic nanobots I just told you about.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.